Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello. You're listening to BFN. This is the podcast about infertility, IVF, and the trials of trying for a baby. I'm Gabby.
And I'm Emma, and we're both card-carrying members of the Infertility Club. Hi.
Hi, hello.
How are you?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm peachy.
Peachy. That's a nice phrase.
Well, you know, do you realise this is our fifth series?
No, it's quite, it can't be. That's insane.
It feels quite surreal to me. I feel like I'm not quite here.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we shouldn't really be, well, this, it feels like maybe series two. Like, let's kick off series two. No.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've got so much to say. I don't know where to start.
We've got a lot to say. A lot. Yeah. Okay. Why don't we start with the kind of, what's this series going to be about?
It's mainly going to be about us talking to people.
Yeah.
So we slightly rejigged the vibe, haven't we?
We have rejigged the vibe. Well, I mean, I would say that the vibe hasn't been rejigged.
No, the vibe is the vibe is the same.
But
the
people delivering the vibe maybe has been rejigged.
So I imagine that a lot of you are waiting for an update from Sophie.
Yes.
You're not getting it for ages.
No, we're not giving you one for a while.
So you're just going to have to wait.
You will have to wait, but it is coming. But we are also, obviously, Liz and Nick had brilliant news at the bonus episode, which you all will have listened to. So we're gonna, you know, give those guys a break. They're gonna go off and do their own thing now. That's they've graduated.
Yeah, they graduated from BFN.
Yeah,
Sophie. Well, you'll find out when we catch up later this series.
Yeah, but yeah, we think this series it's back to just good old me and Emma.
Yeah, it is.
So yeah, so me and Emma are going to be talking, and then obviously we're going to be interviewing lots of amazing people, which we can't wait for you to find out about. And of course, the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend, Professor T.
He will be back, but not this episode.
Not this episode.
I feel like we overpromise and underdeliver.
We gave Tim a big break because of our book, because obviously we made him read it and speak to us for it. And, you know, he's very much been involved. And so we gave him a big break in the last series, and we're like, let's not bother him with our questions. But then this series, we were like, we need to have him back. He hasn't delivered the goods yet,
but hopefully by next, I was going to say issue. Nope. Wrong job.
Next
episode, he will be back on the permanent BFM roster.
He will be back. Yeah, hopefully, fingers crossed. And obviously, our other big talking point is our book, which is almost out. It's out in January, guys. January. Yeah. So fucking close.
It's so close. We are going to be a bit boring about it, probably.
Or really exciting about it.
We're going to be really exciting about it, especially on social media.
We're going to be so exciting about it. You're going to be just buzzing.
Yeah,
buzzing
absolutely.
From the pure
thrill of it all.
Thrill of it all, indeed.
Yeah, but and if you want it on audiobook, that has now been recorded.
Oh my God, yes, we did the audiobook recording, which as a pair of people that do podcasting on the regs, I found much harder than I thought I would.
I found it just tiring.
Tiring? Oh, yeah. Tiring reading one's own book.
Yeah. Yes, it's a really great book. You should definitely buy it.
I found it just harder than I thought it would be. I just, you know, you, like when you're reading something out loud and you're me, you make a few mistakes. So yeah, it was fun. The poor Reese, who is our editor producer,
sound
editor
engineer.
Producer sound engineer, and he's very lovely. If you're listening to this, Reese, which he won't be, you're a legend. So he put up with a lot of rubbishness from me, but I got into it eventually, and well, it is going to be great.
I had to read to him an extensive passage about passing clots.
Oh God.
And after that, I went, "You all right, mate?" And he was like, "Yeah, learning a lot."
Oh, God. Yeah, he definitely learned a lot. But he was very chipper about it.
He was. He was very sweet.
Yeah.
So, yeah. God love Reese.
So, yes, everyone, you can pre-order now if you so desire. And it's out really soon. This is if you're in the UK. We are still working on other big land masses. But news when we have it, I'm afraid. Yeah. But for the time being, in the UK, you can definitely pre-order and it will definitely land on your doorstep on the 20th of January.
Way!
So exciting. Yeah, it is very exciting. And we've been organising our book launch, which is also very exciting. And we will talk some more about that in the coming weeks.
Yeah, it's kind of COVID dependent, isn't it, really?
Oh, fuck's sake, man.
Like the rest of life.
Like everything in our lives, yeah. It's so annoying. Yeah, so fingers crossed that will go ahead. Fucking COVID. Fuck. Fuckity fuck. Anyway, in the meantime.
This episode is our first episode of the series.
It is.
And I'm so excited.
And it's a goodie.
Because we talked to essentially someone who is hip hop royalty.
Yeah, she is. And he is.
Yeah, and he is. So her name is Raquel Horn. She's known as Rocky to her friends. And because we felt like we wanted to be her best friends, we called her Rocky throughout.
Yes.
She is most notably engaged to a guy called Damon Dash. If you don't know who Damon Dash is, maybe just Google it because he is. And cool guy.
VV cool guy.
Yeah. I mean, you will hear audio there of us talking to him and me trying to be cool, but really not doing a good job.
Not being cool at all.
Like, but not doing well.
Raquel is great. She's fucking brilliant. And we had a really nice chat with her. And we also invited her to come to London and have tea with the Queen.
Yeah.
And
she was up for it. And then she invited us to her pad in LA and did. Sent us a photo of her pool. So
She did, guys. She did. It made us feel very warm and cozy on what was a rainy, dark day.
Yeah. I think when you become a journalist, one of the things that you think is, oh, I'm going to interview all these famous people and they're just going to invite me over to their house and then I'm going to be their best friends.
Yes.
Like, that's what I always thought. And that has never happened. But she was just like, come to my place, come and hang out.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God, finally, my journalistic career has reached a pinnacle.
I was literally like, I'm on the next plane. So yeah, that was it. She's just really cool. She's an entrepreneur, and she also stars in a TV show called Health is Wealth, and she's just a lot of fun to talk to.
She's a lot of fun and very candid. I enjoyed the candidness of the conversation.
So our conversation does include a conversation about fairly late term pregnancy loss, and how that feels. And how she dealt with that. I always think it's interesting when you, when we interview someone who's like from LA, who takes a slightly different attitude to really horrible things happening to them. Whereas I would like disappear into just like a big pond of sadness.
Mm.
She was like, and then I look for ways to be positive.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that is so not what I would do, but you're great.
Yeah, no, I mean, she She definitely found ways to feel better about
it. Yeah. Just different ways of grieving. And I respect her for her way, but that would not be me.
Absolutely. But yeah, she's got an amazing story, and I think you'll all really enjoy hearing about it. So without further ado, mm-hmm. before you listen to the episode, please do follow us on all of the socials.
You can follow us on Instagram.
Big Fat Negative.
Or Twitter.
At Big Fat Negative.
Or you can email us.
BigFatNegativePodcast@gmail.com.
Please pre-order our book. You can find it on Amazon by searching Big Fat Negative, or Waterstones by searching Big Fat Negative, or bookshop.org.
Yeah.
By searching Big Fat Negative. Or you can buy some merch.
You can buy yourself a Just Relax t-shirt.
Yeah.
And Just Relax. There you go.
Just Relax.
That's the little things you can do.
And that's on our website. You can find it at bigfatnegative.com.
Okay, guys. Enjoy.
Hey, mate. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I'm happy to be back.
Are you?
Yeah, I really am.
Okay, so this is like our next slot. So normally before we were telling our stories, then we had Sophie and Liz telling their stories, and now we're just doing a bit of chat, right?
Yeah. Okay. Think of it as a chat show.
A chat show?
But no, we're sitting like on a couch, but there's no one else on the couch. It's just us on the couch.
Oh my God. Right now, I've hurt my knee so badly that I don't know if I'd be able to get up from the couch.
Oh shit, that would be embarrassing, especially if you had a short skirt on.
Oh, that would be awful. And I feel like if you have to go on one of those shows, it's a sensible Marks and Spencer's dress.
Yes.
And like definitely. Some sensible court shoes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You hurt your knee doing some real journalism, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I went to, I drove to Dungeness, which is not usually a place for hard-hitting reporting, but it was, I was following up on the migrant crisis, and I was fiddling with my phone, and I fell off the road onto the shingle.
Off the road. Did people see you?
No one, well, I think people did see me, but they were quite a long way away.
I mean, Dungeness is quite an empty place.
I'd kind of forgotten that. Like, it's a very, I mean, it's just a very, yeah, it's a very empty place. And so I had to go and find some people to talk to about how they felt about lots of refugees arriving literally in their back gardens. And they were not as empathetic as I would have hoped the British public would be.
Mm.
But some of them were, some of them weren't, some of them were.
Yeah. It's such a tricky and tragic situation. It's horrible. I was very proud of you that day, by the way. I don't know if I said that to you.
Thanks,
but I was
mate.
So proud of you going off to do some real journalism. I was just sitting here talking about wombs. Well, I hope your knee feels better.
Thanks, mate. It's a injury in the line of duty.
Yeah. How else have you been other than the knee injury?
Well, so I think a few people might imagine after one of the episodes last season that we might be talking about doing our own rounds of IVF again.
Mm-hmm.
This episode, right?
Yeah.
Or this series. That's not happening.
I mean, if in the perfect world of planning content, it would have been useful for us to do another round of IVF now. And if I was our manager, I would probably have forced us into it. but I think neither of us are quite ready. I just have this kind of constant inner monologue of like, do I want to do it now? When should I start? January? When should I do? Blah, 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 blah. But it's not it's not resolved itself. The constant questioning.
It's just I feel so enormously privileged to be in this position where I'm like, maybe I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah,
like maybe I don't want to do another round of IVF because I'm in a position where I don't have to.
Yeah.
Because I have a child. How lucky am I? But
we're both very lucky in that regard.
Yeah, but like being, as most people listening will know, doing fertility treatment and getting back in the TTC headspace is not a very nice place to be. So it's a real consideration for me, like my kind of mental health.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
Because you can kind of go from it turns you into a crazy person overnight, I think.
Yeah.
So I understand your kind of reticence. I think that makes sense, man.
Yeah. For now that project is on hold possibly indefinitely. We don't know.
Possibly. Who knows? We'll keep you updated as soon as, you know, every week I might be like, well, this week I'm thinking.
Yeah. It's stupid stuff though. Like, my career is doing quite well right now. And I essentially kind of put my career on hold while I was doing IVF.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah. It's a lot.
It is a lot.
An awful lot.
But you, we listeners can be sure that you'll be the first to know if that changes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all will be.
I've been doing my big life change is that I've become someone who swims in the sea in winter.
You're fucking mental, mate.
I know.
You're absolutely insane.
Looping that background to fertility.
Right.
I don't know if it wouldn't be, the acupuncturist definitely wouldn't say that you should swim in the sea in winter if you were trying for a baby, right? Because you want to keep that womb nice and warm.
Yeah, I mean, that's my
womb's fucking freezing.
I feel like it's probably quite good for you though, so
it is. I think it's probably good for you. I think it's good for stress. I think it's good for your mental health. But last time I went for a swim with my friend, who I won't mention her name because I'm about to talk about her vagina, she was like, even my vagina is cold. It's fucking freezing, man.
I have so little sympathy for you and your friend.
We do it to ourselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolute nutters.
I know. I didn't think I would ever become that person, but hey, this is what's happened. So that's my news.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you watched the new Sex and the City yet?
So yes, I watched an episode last night. I did.
Right. What did you think of it?
Because I watched it because you text me going, there's a fucking IVF storyline in Sex and the City. What the fuck?
Yeah,
and I was like, well, I'm going to have to watch this.
You know, it's not so much a storyline right now, but I'm sure.
Have you watched both episodes?
Yeah.
And does it feature? I've only watched the first one.
No, it doesn't feature at all in the second one. It's like it's like just mentioned.
Yeah. It's like thrown in there. I was keen to ask you, like, what were you kind of reacting to in an angry way? Because I guess when I see an IVF storyline in something, I usually kind of think, well, cool, okay, there's more. Let's make more noise about it.
Yeah, it's a really good thing, objectively, but I just can't bear watching that stuff. Mm. I had to turn off Master of None. It just makes me cringe. I can't deal with the tension of it. I can't deal with thinking about it. I know some people really like it, like like to listen to that stuff.
Mm.
I personally just can't. I find it so hard to handle.
Yeah.
So once that storyline becomes developed, I'm going to start throwing a tantrum.
If it does, I mean, people do just throw things around these days like that, don't they?
Yeah.
Although, I think, what did I have a problem with? I had a problem with, and I talked about this in the newsletter, for those of you who read that, you'll already have heard this, but sex education, the IVF storyline, which some of you may be aware of. I just didn't like the way they used the fact that she was doing IVF as a kind of reason for her being a absolute cunt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've never heard you spell that word out before.
Well, why would you think? I'm just going to say it. She's never been that polite before.
I probably wouldn't be able to tick the clean box on iTunes, which I do at the moment, which is also a lie. But I hated that. I really hated that.
Yeah. I really liked Master of None. I thought it was great.
I got to the point where she, this is maybe a spoiler, but I don't think it really is. I got to the point where she was pregnant and the days were passing fast and I was like, nope, I know what's going to happen. And then I just turned it off and then I Googled it and found out that is what happened.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was very sensitively done anyway. I thought it was quite artful. And I enjoyed it a lot. But then I enjoy all of Master of None's series. Do enjoy them. But yeah, the Sex and the City one, like much of the episode, was a bit awkward. It's a bit awkward, isn't it?
Oh my God. The 20-minute monologue about Samantha. Like, what was that about?
I know. And I saw someone on, hopefully there's no spoilers in this, but I saw someone on Instagram saying, they kind of were giving their review and they were saying that the mentions of the pandemic were quite awkward. And I was like, yeah, when I watched it, I was like, that's true. They are awkward. I don't think they need to mention them.
Yeah.
It just feels like gratuitous, like just don't talk about it.
Yeah. Is it the whole, I mean, yeah. I only watched it for the outfits, to be fair.
Yeah, and there were some banging outfits.
There were some banging outfits. Like, say what you want about the weirdly weird writing, but the outfits were great. I mean,
SJP's trouser suit. Come the fuck on. What was that? It was amazing. She looked so good. She looks great.
Yeah, she looks great.
Anyway, I think we're going to have to wrap this up before it becomes a Sex and the City podcast that we have not been asked to do. No one wants us to do that.
No one wants us to do that. No one needs us to do that.
No, but no, no, no.
You know, if any advertisers want to pay for that, then I'm here for it.
Do get in touch.
Do get in touch, because I'm really happy to just sit and dissect Carrie's outfits. Okay, on to Rocky.
Rocky.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Ah, I'm loving being here. I feel like I'm in the UK with you guys.
Oh, you almost are. You very almost are. You can feel the rain on your...
I like really miserable cold temperatures and the fact that it's evening.
Oh, well, I bet it's got to be somewhat magical to be over there in the Christmas time in a little bit.
That's true. Yeah. It is a little bit, yeah.
We're on the brink of having some very magical weather, which is high winds and pissing rain.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. That sounds great.
Rocky, we start every single show, and I always get embarrassed when we have someone American on the show, because we start every single one saying, can you tell us about your journey?
Oh, you did a great job.
Thanks. It's my vocal fry.
Sure do.
Great. Okay, so my journey is, it started about 7 years ago. Well, I would guess 8 years ago now. You know, just trying it the old-fashioned way.
Mm-hmm. Classic. So,
you know, classic, you know, just. And I never really... I didn't put too much to it. It was just like, you know, we're not going to prevent it right now. So, you know, no.
Not trying.
Not trying, you know.
Yeah.
No more condoms. How about that? Let's just raw dog it. But, so, you know, it didn't happen. And, you know, I was like, okay, well, maybe it's like a lifestyle type of situation. You know, I don't really have a set schedule. We work all the time. We go out, we have fun, we party. I was smoking weed and, you know, it was just I was like, oh, you know, maybe it's just, you know, my lifestyle. So fast forward a few years and like 2 years and I'm like, okay, I'm still not getting pregnant. So I'm going to stop smoking weed. I'm going to go to the doctor and talk about this. Doctor says, let's start tracking your cycle. Meanwhile,
cool.
I don't know anything about my cycle. I think just women have periods, and like, I didn't understand that we have like all these phases in our cycle and how magical our body is. So I start learning about that. You know, doing the P test and figuring out when I'm ovulating.
Fun times.
Yes. And then, you know, then getting stressed out to make sure we have it, have sex. But you don't want to have, you want to make sure that you don't have sex like 24 hours before it, because you want him to have enough sperm. And so you want to make sure that it's the right amount of sperm. And so you can do it, but you have to do it in this 48 hour time frame, right? Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, they tell you, oh, but meanwhile, sperm can live in the body up to a week. So, you know, no pressure, nothing. It should be fine.
Yeah, but it's precision timing.
Right. And meanwhile, television and movies are like, oh, have sex once, you have a baby. So just don't worry about
it. You looked at a man, you're pregnant.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
The movie Knocked Up has a lot to answer for.
Yes, exactly. One time. So, and that's one of my favorite movies because I think it's hilarious. But
it is hilarious.
But, you know, it's definitely not how life happens. So.
No.
That's, I always tell everybody when stuff like that happens, you should go play the lottery, because you pretty much, the chances of that happening are ridiculous.
Yeah, true.
So that's not happening. Go back to the doctor, and she was like, okay, we're going to try Clomid. So the little pill.
Yeah.
Did the pill about 3 times. Nothing happened. That stuff was pretty hormonally. I felt like, it was pretty intense for me. I felt like I could feel myself ovulating, like at the moment. Gosh, yeah. If I would be walking in the hallway, it was like that whoa moment. Like,
oh my God, were you like, Damon, come here right now?
Like, oh yeah, come here right now. It's happening. Pull him into
it
the bathroom.
An intense experience.
Yeah. And then then nothing happens. And, you know, a little frustrated at that time, because I'm like kind of at that mentality where it's just like, now I have to take things to help me get pregnant. And so it's a whole different mind switch. Now it's like, I'm in another bracket of what women have to go through right here. It's a bracket of unknown. Like, I don't really know nobody I know has taken it except for this one person that told me about it, that his wife had taken it. So, you know, you should go see a doctor. And they were in the medical industry. So I never spoke to anybody else that had taken it. So, it doesn't work. So I'm like, oh, let me just go back to trying to be, you know, holistic. I changed. We went vegan, started doing acupuncture, started taking all these herbs, started doing tinctures, started, you know, like womb massages, and you get all the Reiki, everything I can do to just, you know, to align myself, make it right. Crystals.
Yeah, I feel like you're doing something.
Yeah, everything. Still nothing passes. About a year later, nothing happens. So now I'm kind of at a point where I'm just, and meanwhile, I'm still trying to pee in the cup, take or do the temperature, and still it's getting more stressful because I'm over 30, and my mother's now, when I look back at my mom's had me already in the timeline of life. And I'm like, okay, all my friends have 2 babies now back from high school. And I'm like, okay, well, Steph, in my goal timeline of life, I've wanted to be pregnant by now. So now I'm getting older, and now I have this like this warning sign coming up on like 35, where you hit the, you know, golden year, like golden years, meaning like older years,
the cliff.
Yeah. You're like, now you're over the edge. You've gone over the peak of having babies. So I feel like my timeline is running out, and now I really have to go see a doctor. So a friend of ours, he recommended SCRC, Southern California Reproductive Center. And we started on the next part of our journey of IUIs. For anybody listening that doesn't know what IUIs is, basic, it's like a turkey baster of sperm put right at the bottom of your fallopian tube. So we're kind of like cheating time. So they don't have to swim as much. It's like getting
a helping hand.
Yeah, a helping hand, exactly. No luck. I've done 3 rounds of this. IUIs, nothing. So now we have the conversation on television. I was on a TV show called Growing Up Hip Hop, and we filmed the doctor telling me that our next step is IVF. And at this point, I didn't really know too much about IVF. I just knew like kind of about it through my research. And like, I maybe had heard about it when I was younger, about some people had done it to get pregnant, but it was kind of like a very new thing, or like something that was just kind of out of my hemisphere.
It's what other people do, right?
Yes,
it's
exactly.
Not what you do.
Exactly. So I started the whole round egg retrieval. I had 15 eggs, I believe. Lovely. And then I think only 14 were good. And then from those 14, we had only 7 that really kind of made it into blastocysts and kind of developed.
7's pretty good.
Yeah.
Thank you. But from those 7, only 5 were accepted into genetic testing. And then from those 5, I had 2 egg qualities. I had a boy and a girl. So pretty interesting how it goes. I still have some others frozen, but they're not of the quality that the doctors love. Yeah. So from there, we had the hard conversation of, at first we were like, well, let's just fuck it. You know, we've been trying it for so long, put both of them in. And then the day before, my doctor was like, you know, we've never done this. You've never been pregnant before. I don't want them fighting for space. And because you've never been pregnant before, I don't want to lose them both or something happened because they were fighting over how to get there. I wanted to mention that I did a test called an ERA, and I thought it was very vital for my IVF journey. And I always recommend it to my friends or to anybody that I talk to going through IVF. It's just, I know it's more money, but it gives you more answers and it gives the doctor a better understanding of what's going on in your body, especially if you're at that 33 percentile where they're just like, hey, we don't know. Sperm's good, eggs good, uterus is good, but we just don't know what's going on. And it's kind of like a hard window to be at, because at least at least if you know that your eggs aren't good, you have like an answer. But to just be open-ended, for me, I was like, well, like, what is wrong? Like, nobody can just tell me what's wrong, so I can just fix it. And we had a successful implantation. I was pregnant with a baby girl, and then she just towards my second trimester, getting close to my third, she was not developing properly, and she ended up not making it. So it was right before Christmas. It was definitely, you know, when stuff like that happens, it's hard. But reacting and moving through the motions, I feel like right now, looking back, it's at a blur in my life, because it was just everything just happened and you had to just kind of react. And Damon was monumental in the fact of just making sure everything, every trigger was removed from my life. Took away my phone, because you know you have all those apps where it's like, oh, your baby is this big this month, your baby is this always dinging and emails dinging, and I had done a freaking baby shower on television, so I had a garage full of gifts, so removing those and taking away, like, you know, stopping the phone calls of people checking in and asking how, you know, your baby's doing. Mm-hmm. It was a very good buffer. And then Christmas, it was going to be hard. So we had planned out a baby moon together to go to Hawaii. Yeah. And we canceled it because we kind of just got a little bit sick. And we were like, I don't feel like traveling right now, pre-COVID. But mm-hmm. when everything did happen, we had everything already planned out and the house was still available. So we just ended up pushing the button. And I'm going to have to say it was hard to leave, but it was the best thing for me to just remove myself from what I felt comfortable with and be in a different place so I could move forward. Because I had to adapt. I had to move forward in this new kind of environment, and it helped me really transition and think about the future. I went to in Hawaii is kind of beautiful. I'd never been, and I had always really wanted to go. So I got to be in the ocean, which I was mm-hmm. telling you, I did grow up around on an island. So being mm-hmm. able to go sit in the water was healing. And I went to a birthing stone where the kings and queens of Hawaii used to deliver their babies. And Damon and I went and touched the stone. And it was special. I got to eat lots of fruit and vegetables from the island. So I felt like we got to spend 2 weeks out there and heal. Mm-hmm. It's funny because as soon as we got there, we got to the house, power goes out. So it's like, we can't charge our phones. We can't communicate really with anybody. We just have ourselves to do with. And it was pretty much the best thing for us because it made me really disconnect. If not, mm-hmm. I would have been like trying. And so we're at this remote end of the island. So when the power went out, it was like a mini tropical storm. So it's like the water rises, the bridge is shut down. So we're really stranded. Like we can't leave this part of the island. So it's not like I can leave, go to the airport and say, let's leave. Like, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
We can't. We were stuck there. So we were stuck to deal with it. We were stuck to face everything. I had no hot water. I was sick at first. I was like, we went to this tropical, I'm supposed to be on a vacation. I can't take a hot shower. What is this? I want to be back in LA on my bed and my air conditioning and in hot water. But it was great. It was magical. It made me really look forward to it. All we did was planned to do IVF again. And I asked my doctor when would be the soonest, and we put that on a vision board and we moved forward with that because that was what was going to make me, I knew that was what's going to make me feel better. I had to just see my goal
mm-hmm.
and work towards it.
It's funny how with IVF, that's, you know, you're definitely not the first person to say that who's had something horrible happen to them and the first thought is, when can I do this again?
Yes.
It's almost it's almost like we punish ourselves.
Yeah.
Just, when can I go through this thing that potentially could be awful again?
Yes.
Again.
But, you know, I had never felt being pregnant before. That was my mm-hmm. first time actually holding a baby in my belly or anything. So I was like, I can do this. I know I can do this again. Mm-hmm. I'm determined. I was determined to do whatever it took to have that baby. And in my mind, I had played out every situation possible. So I had these eggs and whatever kind of variation of it was going to take is what I wanted to do. So, I've weighed the options. I have friends that have gone through many different circumstances of it. And mm-hmm. you know what, as you're going through them, you meet new people and you talk to people about different things, or people start to open up to you about it. Oh, I'm going through IVF. Oh yeah, I did IVF too. And you're like, really? I didn't know that.
It is mad.
And I've had friends that were like, that heard my story and they were like, oh, my mom just told me I'm an IVF baby.
Oh, wow.
I never even knew my whole life. And
yeah,
I mean, you know, sometimes it's something that, you know, some people won't talk about, but yeah. I think it's coming into the light of sharing our journeys and us bonding as women and, you know, talking mm-hmm. about our struggles. Because it wasn't until my biggest healing moment was on the airplane to Hawaii. I had a stewardess. Her and I started talking. I couldn't sleep on the flight. Everybody else was passed mm-hmm. out. And this woman just like, she was so bubbly and funny that she kind of just like, I was like, I was by the bathroom and we just started talking. And anyways, we got onto the story of she told me she lost her son, and but he was 21 years old.
Oh my god.
He got hit by a drunk driver. And for me, I was like, this woman had got to see her son until he was 21. She really got to know yeah. him. And she's this yeah. strong right now and this funny and this positive on life. I was like, I can do that. I was like, I didn't even get to meet my baby, but she did, and she has this strength with her. I know I can get through it. So she was just definitely a monumental point. It was like a light bulb for me, of a turning point of my healing. To, you know, so the people close to you can tell you stories, and I guess it just doesn't hit you until some other people tell you, or a stranger tells you a story, and it just hits differently.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you would have heard that if you hadn't been open with her. You know what
exactly.
I mean? It's like by sharing, you're kind of welcoming in these stories that might have that positive impact.
Exactly. So I was like, from her strength, I was like, I can do this too. And I can move forward. I can be positive. I can take this journey again. I can do this because I know, like, you know, what she was able to share with me was so, I can't imagine the pain that she's going through. So for me, it was like a light bulb. I always thank her. I feel like she was a little angel for me to speak with, and she was there. It was all meant to be.
Yeah.
So, that was my big journey. Oh, and then March of the next year, we put the next embryo in. It was a little boy. And a week later, COVID hit. And everything got shut down. So if I would have, you know, me being nervous, I was like, maybe I need to make more eggs or more embryos because of what happened. Like, we need to just start fresh. If I would have done that, I would have been waiting 4 months for reproductive medicine to get back on, because everything got shut down. Reproductive medicine was shut down here in the States and everything. So I would have been depressed and sad for those times. Instead, I was happy, and it was the best thing to be pregnant during COVID. I could be like, nope, can't come over. Sorry. I'm alone. Like, you know, it was just great to cook and to eat and to just make food and be in the house pregnant was the best quarantine I could ask for.
And then you gave birth to Dusko in November, right?
In November, yeah.
Oh, November 2020.
Yes.
He's adorable.
I'm kind of curious about, you know, you've talked about Damon there a couple of times. He's got 4 kids already, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, what did he make of doing IVF? That must have been a very odd experience for
him. Definitely an odd experience. He would always say, like, that, you know, he's like, I'm really trying to have a baby, and it's the hardest journey possible. You know, this first son, his eldest son, Boogie, we just celebrated his 30th birthday. So as you can imagine, he was a dad at 18.
Yeah.
So, he was always able to have kids before. And I knew, I was like, it's not him. for sure. He's got four kids, but it was always like something that was holidays were sometimes hard because we wouldn't always be together or be with the children. So for me, I always wanted us to have kids so we could have the holidays together and to really mm-hmm. spill.
Yeah.
As we talked him up, he just walked in the room. We're talking about the IVF.
IVF? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah. I was just talking about the next IVF.
Yeah. Oh my God, when's the next one?
We're having way too much fun right now.
Yeah. Aww. Going for another one, it's you have to get back in that headspace, that IVF headspace.
We never got out the headspace. So it was funny, Damon, David was like, he was a trooper. He went to all my doctor's appointments with me, mm-hmm. held my hand for everything because it was definitely a whole new experience for him. And we really had to fight for it. And I feel like the best things in life are what you fight for the hardest.
Yeah. Like I said, it's going to be awesome because it's such a fight.
Really, yeah. Great. We knew it was going to be an amazing because it was such a battle to get here. Yeah. And we really have architected our life, having a little baby, being able to have his playroom and to have all of these, I feel like I spent 2 years planning out every toy or everything I wanted to buy. I had so much time. So everything was thought about.
So just going back to like talking about Damon's other kids,
Was
there ever a part of you that felt kind of resentful that he had already gone through that, he'd already become a parent and known what it feels like?
I don't think I ever felt resentment towards him. It was just sadness on my part that I couldn't give him a baby or have a baby of my own. Mm. Like, what did I do wrong in my life that I can't have this blessing that I want so bad, or even give him this a child that I know we can be with all the time together and can share this life that we have together. Being a stepmom too, or a mom plus, it's hard at times because, you never want to go against of what the mother is teaching. So it's not like you can, for me, I can't instill like my morals and principles. I feel like more of the aunt. I get to, which is fun. I get to be kind of like the fun aunt in the sense, or we get to have fun together, but it's never when it comes
replacement.
When it comes to things that like, how I feel about how a kid, that's not my barrier. I can't do that. And I don't want to do that because they're not my children. I wouldn't want that happening with my child. So
did you get a lot of people going, well, at least you got stepkids?
Definitely. Or when are you going to have a baby? Or like, or it's just like more of me. I'm like looking at all my friends. I've got like now it's like four kids now. And I'm just like, Facebook. I can't even look at Facebook.
So it's Facebook.
Wearing matching pajamas. Why do they always put them in matching pajamas?
I just was talking to my friend about this. Everybody, it's going to be like the whole, and I swear it's every day on Christmas Day, everybody's going to be in matching pajamas.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. And it's cute. It's fun. But when you're struggling to be at that moment, it's so hard to see.
Yeah.
And
I think we always advocate deleting Facebook during the holidays if you're trying, because it's just not a nice place to be.
It's not. It's too triggering. And on Mother's Day. It's Mother's Day. It's the worst.
And Father's Day. And Easter. And Easter Halloween.
Yep.
And World Book Day. What the first fuck is World school. Book Day?
Every holiday is hard. First day of school out here with pictures.
Do you ever find that now you're a parent, you still get like weirdly triggered by that stuff, even though you don't need to be? I do, definitely.
I do. Especially like now if it's like multiples and I'm just like, dang, I could really, I'm trying, we've been trying for months now and still nothing. So it's just, I just know, I know what it is. I know what I have to do. And luckily I think I have an answer, but, and I'm at a point where I'm like, if it doesn't work out, I still have this one blessing in my life that I wouldn't change anything for.
No.
But no. I would like to give him a brother or sister his age or similar age. Like his older brothers and sisters are amazing and they're just the best big siblings. But, you know, it's a big age group, so age difference.
Yeah.
So I would like to give him someone that he could play with. Similar,
it's unfair. It feels like IVF and infertility is just filled with guilt. It's like you talking about how you put the guilt on yourself. It was you that wasn't able to have a baby because obviously mm-hmm. Damon had had them before. So you're like, oh, it's my fault. And now you're kind of blaming yourself. You're like, oh, you can't create a sibling. It's kind of, it's a whole world of just feeling constantly guilty, and it's just so unfair.
It is. It's this damn mom guilt.
Yeah.
Just like woman guilt. I think I always say like women have so many extra emotions. It's because we're supposed to give emotions to another being. So like we just got blessed with thousands and thousands of them. So that's why we just are emotional or hormonal. We have our body can do such amazing things. Mm. And then when it doesn't, you're like, well, damn, I'm just stuck with all these freaking emotions.
Yeah, emotions and also periods. That's fair.
I have to say I'm definitely grateful for not having had a period for quite some time right now. It's been an amazing time. I'm still breastfeeding and I still haven't gotten a period, so this is great.
Yeah. Nice little break.
One thing that I'm really interested in is you chronicled all this stuff on Health is Wealth, which is your TV show.
Oh, yes.
How was that? Was it odd having kind of, you know, you said that people were filming you while you were being diagnosed with or being told that you needed IVF.
Mm-hmm.
Was that strange? Did that feel like a pressure?
No, in the moment I like, so Damon and I film everything mm-hmm. and I usually am the one behind the camera. I was the person a lot behind the camera. So to feel uncomfortable in front of the camera, I feel like I would be conflicting what I would do. Mm-hmm. So the only time it felt uncomfortable is when it didn't work out.
Right.
And I had to have that documentation there, but I know that I think it's helping women out there and me being so open with my story has had a lot of women open up to me and just open up about their journey or let them know that there are these things that you can do to find it. I remember, you know, I'm close to Beverly Hills. So I remember I was shopping one day and one woman, I don't know how we started talking about IVF, but she was like, oh yeah, I have a couture baby. And I just thought it was really a couture baby. And I was like, oh my gosh, that was just, it was very cute. And because we were like on Rodeo Drive and she was just like, oh yes, my couture baby.
I love that. I'm definitely like, using that.
Yeah, she's bespoke.
Yes, it's bespoke, exactly. So it was just like, you know, I felt she made it fun, and it was a fun little moment. So
yeah,
and I took that and ran with it for a while.
Oh, definitely. The more we can shake off this stupid taboo, the better.
Yes, and I think it's just hard when you, and for me, it's like, well, I've already entrusted so much into science, so let's just, here we go, like this is where it is. But science has given me this beautiful child and he is amazing. He is smart. He is full of energy. I'm having a hard time keeping up with him. I don't know what it's just like nonstop. And I love it. Yeah. And I love watching him learn. I love watching him absorb his surroundings and just, I'm enjoying being a mom and having to have fought so hard for it.
Absolutely. Damn right. Well, look, whatever you decide your next steps are, you know, best of luck with it all. And and well done for sharing it. I think, you know, obviously, as you said, you're helping a lot of people. So it's a good thing to do.
I've got my IVF. Dr. Alexander, you already know we're scheduling it.
Oh my God.
I'm ready for my next appointment. It's definitely coming up.
Well, very good. Good luck, Rocky. And thank you so much for joining us. It's been so nice to talk.
No, thank you.
Okay.
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
Oh, nice. Rolling of the R's.
Well, you know, it's one of my many talents.
How do I not know this?
Anyway, next week, who are we talking to, Gabs?
We're talking to the one, the only, Joyce Harper.
Oh my God. Professor Joyce Harper to you,
dear. Oh, sorry. Oh my God. Professor Joyce Harper. And she is a professor. Fuck me, man. We were talking about some serious shit.
Yeah.
Some, like, amazing maths. Like, whoa.
So here's what I wanted Joyce on, apart from the fact that she's brilliant and talking
apart
to her.
Apart from the fact she's a legend, yeah.
A joy. She knows a lot about science. She's a scientist.
She does know a lot about science, yeah.
I wanted to know how us normal people can read, like, science and how we can kind of begin to understand all the stuff that we see ourselves.
Mm. Yeah.
So she kind of talked to us about how to read studies, about how to, like, you know, when you see that stuff in the news, like, what should you be looking for?
It's kind of how to make decisions about add-ons as well, right? Because she's been through fertility treatment herself, and she knows what you get. Like, you're just like, fuck, I want to try everything.
Yeah.
But she's very much like, here's what you should do when you're kind of weighing up whether an add-on is worth it.
Yeah.
And basically, she thinks all add-ons are shit.
She does. She's a scientist, an embryologist, an IVF patient. She's all of it, and she's really great.
Yeah.
And when we spoke to her, she was just off to see Little Sims.
Oh my God, she's so fucking cool.
And she's a fellow wild swimmer like you.
She is. I mean, I'm not sure I can call myself a wild swimmer. I don't know. That doesn't feel quite right yet.
Well, anyway, we'll see you next week, guys. And I
see you next week, guys.
This episode has been fun.
Have a good week. Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.